Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Daniel Estulin. The book is In the Shadows of a Presidency. Buy it now. Support it. Go to his website, danielestulin.com. Fantastic. Let's get right back to this. Trump talked about draining the swamp, talked about getting rid of this, whatever you want to call it, but he's surrounded by those same people. Why has Trump not fired Sessions and gone after Mueller?
That's a very good question, because Trump and Putin, they have the same problem. Both Trump and Putin, as I said before, they're right-wing conservatives, but they are both surrounded by enemies. Trump and Putin, they're alpha males. They can negotiate. They can agree on things. As I said, you know, if we have nothing else to talk about, we can talk about women. But they have a lot to talk about. And Trump said after his meeting with Putin, a few weeks ago, he's had one of the best experiences of his life. You know, so these two can definitely negotiate on a big game level. But the problem is there's no one behind them to get things done, because both Trump and Putin are surrounded by traitors. Trump is at war with the entire establishment, which is why we're seeing leaking, you know, all over the place. New York Times publishing an opinion page from one of the people inside the White House, allegedly, who they call themselves the resistance, as they're fighting, you know, UFOs. Then you're looking at the mainstream media, you're looking at the intelligence agencies, they're all against Trump, so his hands are tied. And people are saying to me often, well, this doesn't make any sense, this guy is psycho, you know, on one hand he's saying he likes Putin, on the other hand, he's putting very strong sanctions against Russia. It all makes perfect sense, because Trump understands he needs to win midterm elections, because then he's going to win 2020, and he's going to be able to clean the swamp. And to do that, the liberal media, the deep state, the intelligence agencies, they're putting him in a situation where he basically has to up the ante. And if they're calling, you know, sanctions on Russia, he has to double or triple these sanctions to make it look like he's holier than thou. But again, he's not really fighting against Putin, because he understands that two of them are on the same page. He needs to get rid of the swamp. And the only way he can do that and start getting rid of all of his enemies, dismantling the deep state, is by winning the midterm elections. And that's the key. Can Trump,
okay,
and I'm not saying the Republicans, because Trump is not a Republican. He's part of what I call the Black International, okay? But he needs to win midterm, because then the United States will have a chance to be great again.
Okay, are Putin and Trump, what you're telling me, to be clear, they're on the same page, they understand what they're doing. Then where does Syria come in all this? Because it seems like a trigger, if somebody's trying to pump this up for World War III, both sides, what? What are we looking at?
Well, you just made a very good point, exactly, because again, a way out of the crisis, you cannot write off $4 quadrillion, okay? There's simply no way to do this. One way to do this is via global war. A little regional conflict between Syria and Israel is not going to solve it, which is one of the reasons, again, we're seeing so much effort being made to actually get these two into a global conflict, because of the Syrians, the Iranians, the Israelis, then the Americans get in, the European Union gets in, NATO gets in, the Russians, the Chinese, everybody gets into the action. They're going to have a global war. And why is that important? Because people, again, are saying they can't be serious. I mean, if you have a nuclear, thermonuclear Third World War, they're going to kill half of the world's population. Maybe. But as Mao Zedong said way back when, if they kill half of the world's population, there's still the other half left. And we, meaning the Chinese, have over 1 billion people. So they will survive. So again, wars write off debts and responsibilities. And so needless to say, we are seeing how the deep state in Syria, it's not Trump who's pushing for war. It's not Trump who's trying to get the Americans to stay in Syria. It's the deep state who's fighting with Donald Trump. It's the fight to the death to make sure that one of them can only survive. And that's why Trump is doing everything in his power to try to weasel out of this somehow. But again, the key is the midterm November elections.
This is quite dramatic. I'm really stunned, to be honest with you. Your book and how you handle this in the shadows of a presidency, this is fantastic information. Now, you said you're not really pro-Trump or what, you're looking at it kind of from afar, from a distance. But it seems like everybody in the world should be pro-Trump from what you said, no?
Everybody. everybody in the world should be pro-Trump, but because most people are not on friendly terms with their brain, they simply have been taken by all this propaganda, all the stuff we're seeing, which is peripheral stuff. You know, Trump being on a bed in Moscow and St. Petersburg, you know, all the stuff you're seeing in the media, it's all claptrap. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything at all. The situation, the background to this entire story that we're seeing is the collapse of the global financial model. There are three dates in the 20th century which we can say key economic data, period. 1913, the creation of the Federal Reserve, 1944, Bretton Woods, and 1981, Reaganomics. But because the entire edifice of the system which has been in place for so long is crumbling, they're desperate to come up with a solution, and they can't. And Trump is this once-in-a-lifetime event, you know, against all odds, somebody who comes along who has absolutely nothing to do with what, you know, commonly established left-right divide, which is, again, controlled by the same people. So it's very important to understand that it's not I'm a pro against Trump. Anybody who is on friendly terms with their brain has to understand that Trump is far better for the world peace and stability than Hillary Clinton.
All right, quickly, I want to divert just a second. Kavanaugh was the recent Supreme Court nomination in America. Now, he was very close with the Bushes. His wife was even secretary to Baby Bush. I don't like the guy. He's very unconstitutional to me. I am alarmed. Is Trump, did he nominate him almost to a nod to that part because he's trying to rally support to throw in everything to win these elections, or what? Why is he keeping
it's a good question. I don't think we know,
swamp.
But the point is, again, a lot of the things that we're seeing, people saying this guy's insane, makes no sense, his decisions, you know, he's contradicting himself left, right, and center. He's not. He's just fighting the deep state. So a lot of the things which it looks like is actually being done in the name of Trump are not. It's Trump's way to react to this, you know, persistent attack from the deep state, the liberal banking financier order. I don't know who nominated this guy, who made him nominated, but we know from previous actions, okay, that the war is not Trump against Putin. It's not the United States against Russia, because if it's the United States against Russia, please explain to me Clinton against Trump, Antifa against the police, Black Lives Matter. You have the, you know, the civil war going on in the United States, National Rifle Association against all these people, the student movement, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not countries at war today. It's global projects. And in these global projects, the fight is for survival in the short term, because there is no long term. Because, again, unless we can come up with an alternative economic model, this entire edifice is going to collapse onto itself.
Now, this seems like just very unsteady times, to say the least. I asked you during the break, I thought it was interesting, should I be buying gold and silver? What should I be looking to stabilize myself here if I could?
Well, I think it's important to understand that one day you can easily wake up and the entire, you know, the banks are going to be closed and the money is going to be gone. Definitely. I'm not an investment banker, so if you are going to buy something, buy physical gold. You can buy it, you know, in small quantities or large quantities, but physical, not paper, because, again, paper is going to disappear. Money is going to disappear, banks are going to close, and then what are you going to do? You want physical gold, you want silver if you don't have a lot of money, because, again, the difference between gold and silver is one is about 1,200 or whatever it is today, dollars per ounce, and the other one is $14 or $15 per ounce. So needless to say, for $1,000 you can buy a lot more as far as quantity and weight, silver than gold, but you don't want to be carrying kilos on kilos of this metal around.
Yes. How precarious is this? Food, obviously, my family has Numana food storage. We sell food storage. People should be pairing that way. Water filters. I mean, should we be looking
at
the whole
nine
point, yards?
Because, you know, one of the reasons why what we're seeing right now, today in the United States, the purchasing capacity of America is at a 1958 level. When you're going to have a collapse of the economy, this is going to go back, these numbers are going to go back, the purchasing ability of Americans. It's going to roll back to the 1920s of the 20th century with a very small difference. In the 1920s, I think 40% of America was, or 50 or 60, I can't remember the exact number, was agriculture. And the biggest city in America was New York with a population of 2 million people. How are you going to survive today in America with a salary from the 1920s with a population in New York City of 15 or whatever it is, million people, and only 3% of people actually living off the land? Whether it's in Russia, that number is close to 40. 39.3%. So obviously, if you can have land, if you can have food, if you can save on that, it's very, very important, because things are going to come, you know, fast and heavy, and we're simply not going to have time to react. And why are people not reacting? Because, you know, they think that they've seen this before in television, you know, Hollywood, and somebody's going to come along, a great president, you know, in a big airplane, you know, with the cavalry, and they're going to save the day from the bad Ruskies or the bad aliens or that whoever, you know, whoever it is that's bad in that film. But unfortunately, the reality is different. The world, the entire world, is on the verge of economic collapse. And when that happens, you know, God help us.
Okay, quickly, we have a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. One, I want to say thank you for staying over. Fantastic. Quickly.
It's my pleasure.
No matter whose side wins here, the Trump whatever plan, the old banking industry, the finance plan, where they're basically using people, it sounds like we're going to go through an economic collapse, an economic upheaval. It's almost inevitable. No, what?
It's inevitable. You know, as we come to the second half of 2018, you know, the heat has been turned up dramatically. The financial coup d'etat, you know, it drained trillions of dollars of assets from sovereign governments, pension funds, you know, community and municipal institutions, et cetera, et cetera. So the debt growth model is over, and the cost of capital for these existing institutions is rising. What remains is in the existing institutions are liabilities. So, you know, what we're seeing right now is an acceleration of controlled demolition of existing liabilities as pension funds, insurance companies, businesses, they must renegotiate or abrogate their contracts. And so the most important question before the United States, and with this I finish, is whether or not the country will re-engineer the return on investment to taxpayers of government investment, credit contracts, appropriations, and regulations from a negative to a positive return. If they do, then the United States will create explosive growth. And if they don't, the country is in for a very long, harsh financial squeeze, at best, or civil war, at worst, perhaps even a repeat of what we saw back in Russia from the 1990s, called the Rape of Russia. In other words, what we saw happen in Russia in the lawless 1990s will be coming home to America. We've lived through it, so we know what it is, or we are prepared for it. But the United States has never lived through anything like it, and you're terribly unprepared for what's coming.
The book is In the Shadows of a Presidency. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a fantastic look at these, I mean, larger than life, huge Atlas Shrugged type moments we have right now. Daniel, it's such a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. God bless you. I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Anytime.
Yes, sir. Wow. I got to wrap my brain around that. I got to go back and listen to that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's on the line right now. This is not drama. This is not hyperbole. It is all on the line right now.